Good morning, Crossville Church. Thank you all for being here this morning. In case you have forgotten, it is Mother's Day. Walgreens is open after church if you need a card. So just want to give you a heads up. I reminded you last week, but I wanted to remind you again just in case. When I was at Walgreens yesterday getting a card, there were several gentlemen down the aisle, and I thought, man, we're the overachievers. It's not Sunday morning yet, so... So because of Mother's Day, we will not have choir practice or any evening service tonight, small groups or anything like that. We will be having Trail Life tomorrow night at 6 p.m. And then we will be having MOPS this Tuesday, both sessions, morning from 9:30 to 11, evening from 6 to 7:30. The newly elected NMI Council will be meeting Wednesday at 5. So if you do not know who you are, ask the pastor or ask Connie and they will tell you. But don't forget about that. And then, of course, Wednesday night, normal activities at 6 o'clock, adults, teens, kids. And then we'll be having the prayer time on Friday morning that we've been having at 9 o'clock. For doors be open for anybody that wants to come, as long as you want to stay. So don't forget about that. Now, not tomorrow night, but a week from tomorrow night, the 22nd, we will be having missionaries here from Kenya. I've been mentioning this for several weeks, the Frasers. And these are some folks that Pastor Jack and Faye know pretty well. But our service will be at 6:30 p.m. on that Monday night. It will be a mission zone rally for all the other churches in the area. And so we will not be having an evening service next Sunday night either. But that doesn't mean that you can't come on Monday night. We're going to give you Sunday night off so you can come hear the missionaries on Monday night. It's a trade out. It's not one or the other. So, and then we'll be doing like we normally do, having fellowship down in the Family Life Center afterwards. So please bring some kind of snack, finger food, desserts, whatever you think missionaries from Kenya might enjoy that have been away from home for a while. So that'll be a good time of fellowship. So don't forget about that. And I believe that is the Cliff Notes version of what I have today. Don't forget to check out the newsletter on Friday and make sure that you see everything else that is going on in the coming weeks. And thank you all for your support of the church in attendance and through tithes and offerings.
The book of James, chapter 5, tells us, is any one of you in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy, let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. Mary has asked this morning that we anoint her. Mary's been having some health issues. And she has asked that we gather around her as a body of believers and anoint her today. And so if you would like to come and gather, we believe what the Bible says. Amen? And so we're going to ask those of you who would like to come and pray. Mary was worried about this being Mother's Day. I can think of no better day to anoint someone and pray for their healing than today. Mary, we as your congregation and the elders of this church gather around you and anoint you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning with confidence not in ourselves, but confidence in the God who is able to do immeasurably more than we can even ask or imagine. And Lord, Mary has come this morning asking that the elders of the church gather around her, anoint her with oil, and pray. And Lord, we realize this morning that it's not something special about this oil. We realize, Lord, it's not something special about the people who are gathered around us, but there is something special about the God that we serve. Amen. And so, Lord, this morning we are believing you that you're going to touch her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We ask you, God, that you would bless her, and we give you glory in advance.
Oh, Good morning. About a month ago, Samantha asked me if I would consider doing a devotion for Mother's Day. And my first inclination was to say, well, I don't know. But then the Lord said, Jim, step up there. So this past Wednesday night, when we had our service here, I went up to Samantha and I told her that I was preparing this devotion and I had gotten it down to 43 and a half minutes as I picked her up off the floor. My talk this morning will be short, or at least relatively short, and I've got it into 3 points of thought, much as our minister seems to do on a regular basis. And it has a conclusion. Many of the lessons that I have learned over the many years from my mother started when I was very young. Let's go back to the 1940s. In the 1940s, I was, of course, very young, and one of the early things that I recall that my mother taught me was how to stand upon a kitchen chair and learn to dry the dishes. And she also taught me shortly thereafter how to lick the fudge bowl after she had made fudge. And when I came in dirty and all grimy, she taught me about the necessity of being clean and putting me in the utility room tub to get clean before I could even go into the house. But as I grew up, my mother taught me a great many things, many of which as a young person I perhaps didn't quite understand in the manner in which you will as you mature. So let me share a few of those thoughts that I had when I was quite young. First of all, my mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. I heard her say, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I've just finished cleaning. With regard to religion, she said, you'd better pray that will come out of the carpet. About time and travel, she said, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you to the middle of next week. In regard to logic, she said, because I said so, that's why. And then there was more logic, and she said, if you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. As far as foresight, she said, make sure your weary, clean underwear, you don't know what might happen if you get into an accident. And then there was irony, and she said, keep crying, and I'll give you something to cry about. Some of us have heard that one more than once. And then there was the science of osmosis when she said, shut your mouth and eat your supper. And then there was the one on contortion when she said, look at the dirt on the back of your neck. And then there was stamina in which she said, you'll sit there until the lima beans are all gone. As far as weather went, she said, your room looks like a tornado hit it. And as far as the circle of life, she said, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. And then there was behavior modification in which she said, stop acting like your father. And then there was envy in which she said, there are a million less fortunate children in the world who don't have wonderful parents. And then I would say, as regard to wisdom, she said, when you get my age, you'll understand. And in regard to justice, she said, one day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. So that's my thoughts as I was a youngster. As I've grown to be a father and a husband, and hopefully a much more mature man, these are my thoughts about Mother and Mother's Day. Mother's Day, what a wonderful reminder. Where would we be without you? What a no-brainer. Life would cease to exist if it were not for you. You conceived and you carried us before we took our first breath. You fed and you nurtured us when we could not be loved and cared for, even when we were not very, very lovable. You have been the very blueprint of who we have become. Yes, Mom, I love you, and I always will, even though you are gone. Rest in the fact that you remain embedded deep within my heart. As for you, Mother of our children, you are my center. You mean everything to me. The world is not nearly big enough. When we're asked to count our blessings, there is no question that you are and always will remain at the very top of the list. And to the Lord, all I can say is that mothers are the finest gift of grace that you have ever given to mankind. And to all the mothers of the world, God loves you, and so do I. And I'll close, and I think it would only be fitting to close with what the Lord has to say about mothers. And I sought out Proverbs chapter 31, 25 through 30. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs with no fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and kindness is a rule when she gives instructions. She carefully watches all that goes on in her household and does not have to bear the consequences of laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Amen.
That was worth coming for today. Amen. Stand as you're able as we worship the Lord.
Become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Above all. my sin wash white.
Lord, how thankful we are this day that we gather together in your house. And Lord, you're here. I thank you, O God, for the many blessings you have bestowed upon each and every one of us.
Yes.
We do honor our moms this morning. And Lord, through the years, how the moms of the church has been the mom to every one of us. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the truth of the gospel. Well, Lord, you so loved us. You came into this world to die on the cross for the sins of mankind, that whosoever believes in you, Lord, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for that, O God. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your faithfulness.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you in all things, Lord, you have given us. We love you, Lord, and we love each other. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Believe it or not, probably the most difficult messages that a pastor gets to preach, I didn't say has to preach, that a pastor gets to preach are on these special days like this. You want to say something new. You want to say something fresh. You want to say something that is going to maybe impact a life that in a way that maybe it's never been impacted before. I had an event this week that happened to me. If you read the newsletter, you know what that event was. I had someone say to me that Mother's Day creates all kinds of feelings for different people. I'm just going to go ahead and read you the rest of the article. How about that? There are those women who have never had children, and so they feel a little different about this holiday than those who have had children. There are those who thought the thought of their mother doesn't create feelings of warmth because their mother was not the ideal mother. There are those who have lost children in miscarriage or after they were born. This day will be difficult. There are those mothers whose children have not been in touch with them for a long time. So this day is not going to be an easy one for them. With that in mind, I want to take a moment to acknowledge all the women who are part of our congregation. I have found out over the many years of pastoring that all the women in the congregation are or can be influential in someone's life. Each of you ladies are unique, fearfully and wonderfully made, and have the ability to shape others. I'm grateful for my mom. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I'm grateful for my grandmother who shaped my life as a child. I'm grateful for the way my wife and the way that she has carried and cared for our girls. I'm grateful for the many women who across more than 40 years of pastoring have been an influence for good in my life and the life of the people in the congregations that we have served. So whether you are a mother, grandmother, aunt, sister, or dear friend, remember the question isn't if you have influence, but rather the type of influence that you have. Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 21, you read these words, "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly.' Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, 'Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel.' The woman came and knelt before him. 'Lord, help me,' she said. He said, 'It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs.' 'Yes, it is, Lord,' she said. 'Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus said to her, 'Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted.' And her daughter was healed at that moment." Kind of an unusual Mother's Day passage, isn't it? A lot of you know I'm strange, so it's okay. Thank you, Eugene. There are a lot of great women that, as you were to go through the Bible, that you could look at and a pastor might be able to speak on for Mother's Day. I mean, there was Moses' mother. Her name was Jochebed. She was a woman of great faith who refused to give up her son. She knew that God had a great plan for him. And then there was the mother of Samuel, Hannah, a woman who willingly gave her son for the service of God. That's an interesting passage. And one of these days we'll look at Hannah. Hannah came before the Lord many, many times. In fact, Eli thought she was drunk because she came and she prayed. She never said anything, but she was there. And she finally revealed that she was praying for a son. And if God granted her a son, then she would give him to God so that he could serve God all the days of his life. And we know that happened. Of course, there was Mary, the mother of Jesus, a woman of great faith and sacrifice. And she was a woman who really sacrificed her reputation. Now, I've said this before, but I want to go back to it. The days in which we live are different from the days in which she lived. She sacrificed her reputation. Everyone thought that she had been unfaithful to Joseph, or that she and Joseph had been unfaithful to the law. And yet she sacrificed her reputation for the sake of a lost and dying world of which we are a part. But today I chose a woman partly because of all that was said earlier in the week, but partly because I really look at this woman and I see that this woman had great faith. She was a woman who received an answer to her prayer. And so this morning, whether you are a mother or whether you are not a mother, you can even be a father today. Or a man, and this apply to you, okay? But I look at this mother of great faith, and I want to see what her faith and trust in God did for her. The thing I notice is, first of all, this mother revealed that she had a problem. Look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 one more time. "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Verse 23 astonishes me. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came. I always love them, you know. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away. Now, you may not have ever read it like that, but I'm reading it like that this morning because that's basically what they said to him. Get rid of her. She's causing problems. She keeps crying out after us. This woman had a problem. Can I tell you something this morning? There are many people in our world who have problems. And if you came to this service this morning and you don't have a problem, before the end of the service, we're going to pray that God will give you a problem so you'll have to trust in Him more. That was one of the most nervous laughs I've ever heard from a congregation. Many people in our world today face problems and circumstances that are beyond their belief. But I found out a long time ago that when a mother senses that there is a problem with one of her children, whether it is a physical problem or a spiritual problem, an emotional problem, whatever that problem may be, when that mother senses that problem, they become consumed with that problem. When I was 9 years old, I was diagnosed with Perthes disease. Perthes disease is the deterioration of the hip joint. And basically what you have when you have that is the cartilage that is on top of that ball that goes into the socket. That cartilage, because of a lack of blood flow, goes away. And so eventually what you have is bone grinding against bone in there. And it is not a pleasant situation. I'll never forget, even as a kid, that young, seeing my mother's face. As we went through various situations and circumstances, we went to Shriners Children's Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia. I will never forget that. As I sat there in that hospital and watched all these kids go by and everything that was happening there, and to look at my parents' face and to see they were consumed at that point in time because doctors had said to us, they said, he will never walk normally. He will never run. He will never do any of those things. But my parents, my mom was consumed with what was going on in her boy's life. This mother was a Canaanite. This mother that we read about here, she was a Syrophoenician. She was by culture and language a Gentile. She was a Greek. By religion, she was a pagan. But more than likely, every one of the priests of her religion that she had taken her daughter to, they had done nothing. And her daughter was not getting any better. Her daughter was seemingly growing worse. And on this day, something happened in her when she knew that Jesus was coming by. They say there are no atheists in foxholes. I'm just going to tell you something. There are no atheists when your children are sick. This mother had a problem. The problem had to do with her daughter. I mean, I think she probably had a whole lot of other problems in her life, but they all seemed small and compared to the problem that she was having right here in this point in time. And Mark chapter 7 tells us that the little girl was demon-possessed. She had a problem and nothing could be done about this problem. Those with children understand the helplessness that this mother faced. I mean, when a child has a high fever and you can't get it down, you've done everything. Or there are other crises that happens in our lives with our kids. I mean, we go through these kinds of things, and to the normal parent, all other problems seem small in comparison to what is happening right then and right there. This daughter was vexed with a demon. A lot of times it's not spiritual issues that our kids are facing that we really battle with the most. It's when it seems like our children are under attack by the devil. We want to pray. We want to do all that we can. We want to intervene in any way that we can. And so all of the issues that this mom was facing, she had a problem. I don't know what you came to the church with this morning. You say, William, that's a strange way to say that. Well, it is a strange way, but I don't know how you came to church this morning. I mean, I understand you probably got here in a car, but I don't know really what's going on in your heart and in your mind and in your life. I don't know the problems that you're facing. I mean, we all come to this place with smiles on our faces many times that really hide what is going on inside, because our hearts many times are breaking because of the problems in our life, but many times they're breaking because of the problems in our children's lives. Or those that we love dearly. So if you came to this place this morning with a smile on your face but a heart that is breaking, please understand you are not alone. This woman came to Jesus with a problem. But I want you to notice, and you begin with verse 22 and go on down basically through verse 27. And this whole dialogue that you have there between Jesus and the disciples and this woman, I mean, it is amazing. Look at verse 22 one more time. Matthew chapter 15. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying after us." Now, when you get to verse 24, please understand he is not talking to the woman. He is still talking to the disciples. He has not, until this point, even acknowledged that she was there. Puts a whole new view on it, doesn't it? He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." At that point in time, she moves into a place that he could not avoid her. Because she comes and she kneels before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." This woman had a problem. But this woman remained persistent in what she was doing. She remained persistent in what she was doing. I mean, this Gentile woman, in contrast to the Jews Jesus had been dealing with, at this point in time, I believed everything that she had heard about Jesus. The Jews were questioning. The Jews were denying. The Jews didn't believe that he was who he was. But she, knowing all that she did about the Jewish religion, said to everyone who was in the room that day, "This is the promised Son of God. This is the Son of David." She believed that this man that she was coming to was God himself, deity. She believed that this man to whom she was coming to was going to be able to do something about the problem that she had. She believed that he would be interested in her. She believed and took her problems to him. And folks, blessed is the person who knows where to go with their problems. The whole scene. I mean, it just fascinates me when I look at it. I mean, even though she went to Jesus, she was not finished with problems. A lot of people have this idea, oh, if we go to Jesus, then everything's going to be solved. Please understand, yes, the major problem of your life will be solved when you come to Jesus. And that's the sin problem that you have. But that doesn't mean that everything else is going to go away. The problem that I have with so many people, so many preachers that are on television and radio, they make us believe that if we simply come to Jesus, that everything is going to be sunshine and roses. That's not the case. Bad things still happen to good people. They do. And this woman, Now she is faced with the person that she thought was going to solve her problem, and he seemingly is ignoring her. Have you ever prayed and felt like your prayers didn't get past the ceiling? Or is that only me? Somebody either nod your head up and down or this way. You know, I don't, help me out here. I'm in deep. I mean, we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed, and it was just like, as the old timers used to say, the heavens are brass. Do you remember them saying that? I mean, and you've prayed, and she comes to Jesus, and the disciples now, they're frustrated because they have had it with this woman who kept crying out to them, and they want Jesus to do something about her. And so he says to them, I did not come for people like her. He didn't answer at first. He ignores her. Can I tell you, sometimes it's worse to be ignored than it is to have somebody just tell you off. Because at least if they tell you off, they know that you're there. Or you know that they know that you're there. The sad part was the disciples didn't want to soil their hands with the likes of a Canaanite Syrophoenician woman. Everything that could have happened to discourage this woman did happen. Didn't it? Talk to me, yeah. I mean, everything that could have happened to discourage her, to make her want to get up from the whole process and leave knowing that nothing... But she didn't do that. Look at what she did. She worships this one who had ignored her. Or that she perceived was ignoring her. None of this surprised Jesus at all. If you don't get anything else, get that this morning, okay? None of this surprised Jesus at all. And she comes and she falls at his feet. Verse 25. I love her prayer. Also in verse 25. Lord, help me. Isn't that something? We have this idea that when we come to God, all of our sentences have to be correct. All of the things have to be right. We have to pray. We have to bow. We have to do. No. I'm not saying be disrespectful, but I'm telling you there are times in my life when I have bowed before God, or I have just simply closed my eyes, or I have simply looked at the heaven and said, Lord, you got to help me. Lord, help me. And if that wasn't enough, read verse 26. It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. He, in essence, just called her a dog. Which was not anything uncommon for her, because everybody in the community who was Jewish did the same thing. They thought that the Canaanites were dogs. Jesus wasn't trying to hurt her. If you don't get, here's another thing, if you don't get this morning, please get this. Jesus was not trying to hurt her. He was simply testing her faith. There are times in your life and there are times in my life with the problems that we face that our faith is tested. I go back to what I said a while ago. We have been told and we have this idea that if we come to Jesus, that everything is going to be given to us because that's what he has to do. Why don't you go and read what happened to the disciples? It didn't happen that way for them. And sometimes Jesus will answer questions, and sometimes he won't answer questions, and sometimes the answers to our prayer are yes, and sometimes the answer to our prayers are wait, and sometimes the answers to our prayers are no. Which in our day and age is not a very popular word for parents to say to their kids. But despite the discouraging things, In spite of all of the circumstances that seemed to oppose her, this woman continued to trust and continued to pray in spite of all that Jesus said. This woman was going to receive from God what she believed God could do. Yes, Lord, you are right. I am a dog. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Bless his heart, Ozzy has learned he's not going to get anything at our table. He's just now, he's got now where when it's time to eat, he goes and gets in his bed. Ozzy does not have much faith in us. Lord, I realize that in everybody who is looking at me right now, yes, I am a dog. And I don't deserve anything, Lord. But if I could just have a crumb, if I could just have something small, if I could just have that, Lord, my daughter could be made well from the very smallest thing that you might be willing to give me. Lord, that's all I'm asking for is a crumb. And this woman received the promise from the Lord. Verse 15, chapter 15, verse 28. Then Jesus answered, "Woman," that was not a derogatory term. Okay? "Dear woman" is actually what it could have been interpreted there. "Woman, you have great faith." I mean, he could have said to her, "You have great success, you could have great, you have great influence," but the greatest words that Jesus said to this woman, as far as her personally, was, "Woman, you have great faith." And if he'd stopped there, that would have been great and wonderful. I mean, wow, to have Jesus himself say to you, "You have great faith." That's wonderful. But he didn't stop. He goes on and he says, "Your request is granted." Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? That Jesus, seeing something in this Syrophoenician woman, this Canaanite, this dog as far as everybody else was concerned, he saw in her something that he saw in no one else in the community. Even his disciples. "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And then it says, "And her daughter was healed from that very hour." Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will do what? Direct your paths. What is it saying there? That He'll give you the desires of your heart, basically, is what it's saying there. She received the encouragement from the Lord, but she received the answer to her prayer. It is an amazing thing when you look at this woman, a woman who should not have had faith at all, and yet had more faith than anybody else in the crowd. She received her miracle. Conclusion. Pretty simple sermon, isn't it? It's not just about moms. It's about people. I said it a moment ago. I'm going to come back to it. I don't know what kind of problems you came to this place with this morning. I don't know what issues you're facing in your life. I don't know what the smile that was on your face this morning hid. But Jesus does. He does. Not a problem that you have has escaped his attention. Even Jesus himself said that there's not a sparrow that falls, but what it doesn't catch the Father's attention. If I can be cute for just a moment, there's not a hair that falls that doesn't escape his attention. That's what he said too. And for some of us, that is becoming a more real portion of Scripture. Wow. This woman could do nothing about her problem. She came to Jesus with her problems. Which tells me that that's what you and I really need to do with all the problems that we have. Sometimes, and I've had people say, well, Jesus isn't concerned about my small problems. Yes, he is. Don't let anybody convince you that you are insignificant in God's sight. He loved you and you enough to come and to die for you. You are important to him. Moms, you may be praying for that child that is away. You may be praying for that child that is sick. And we have some moms who are praying for sick children. You may be praying for a situation that nobody else knows about. This morning, I'm glad to tell you, don't give up. Be persistent. Keep on keeping on. Just keep on trusting God. It may not come to pass like you think it will, like you hope it will, but God is working. And when he does answer that prayer, rejoice. Many of the ladies in our church, I watch them as they gather with each other and as they pray sometimes, and don't ever stop. And it doesn't matter whether we're man, woman, boy, or girl today. We can bring our problems to Jesus. And he will reward our faith. Every year, for many, many years, I have had the special opportunity on Mother's Day and Father's Day, you know, I do it both Sundays, of asking all the moms in the congregation to come and stand before me. And this year's the same. I got to do baby dedications the past 2 weeks. Now I get to do one of my other favorite things to do, and that's pray for our moms who are part of Mother's Day. And so, ladies, if you would give me the honor, I would appreciate for all of our moms to come and to stand here and face me. That may be the worst part of your day right there. But if you would do that, we want to thank God for our mothers. Now, gentlemen, and those of you who are still in your seat, isn't this a beautiful sight? Amen. That's good. Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity that we have this morning to stand before this group of ladies and to pray for them. What an honor that is for me as their pastor. I'm so thankful, Lord, for the testimonies that I have observed. Not that I've just heard, but the testimonies that I have observed in these women who are standing before you today. I'm so thankful, Lord, for their faithfulness to you, their faithfulness to their husbands, their faithfulness to their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. But, Lord, I'm thankful for their faithfulness to the church. Many of them have gone through difficult circumstances. Some of them right now are going through difficult circumstances. But how grateful we are, Father, that they come to you with their burdens, with their problems. They come to you believing for their children and for their grandchildren. They come asking for the salvation of those kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. And so, Lord, this morning, I ask that you honor their faith and their faithfulness. I pray, Father, for their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, that if any of them are far away from you, that you would indeed begin to speak to that heart, to draw them to you. Lord, for those whose children are facing physical issues, thank you, God, that you are the great physician, that you can touch and heal. Lord, that healing may not come in ways that we would want, but we're grateful, Lord, that you are the one who does the healing. And so we believe that you can and will this morning. I pray for all the women of this church who are influencers in the lives of the people who are around them. Some teach Sunday school. Some work in other areas in the church. And I pray, Father, that you would honor their faith and their faithfulness. For some this morning who this day does not bring about the most pleasant of circumstances and thoughts in their minds, I ask you, God, that you would give them peace and that you would help them. Rejoice in the God that we serve. And though our world may look at us and think we're strange, maybe our world looks at us and they think we are dogs. Thank you for the crumbs that fall from the Master's table. And that we enjoy your presence, that we enjoy your touch, that we enjoy your faithfulness to us, and we give you glory for that. Bless these moms and grandmothers this morning, great-grandmothers. May you strengthen them and help them as they are faithful to you. And we love you and we thank you for them. And we thank you for the blessing that they are in our lives. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Bless you. I'm so glad that you're here. And they're in the foyer. That's where they are. That's great. Thank you, Justin. We're so glad that you were here this morning, ladies. And all of you in the congregation, thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us on Facebook this morning. We hope that you have a very special Mother's Day. Enjoy the day with your families. May God bless you. You are dismissed.